You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a surprise brand new edition of On to the Next One. We could not leave you hanging, my friends. This will be a little bit of a different show, as this week on this bonus episode of Otno, we're going to give out our mid-year awards in our wonderful sport of mixed martial arts. I am Mike Heck, and joining me this week is the co-host, most of the time co-matchmaker, always the best friend, and indubitably the prince of positivity, Mr. Alex Kaylee. Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, yeah, we're best friends. Nothing's changing that. It doesn't matter whether it's a regular edition of Otno, special edition. Mike, we should clarify. This is a special edition. We said, anyone who listened to the last episode will know that we said we're getting very hyped up for our 50th episode. This is not it. This is not the 50th episode. That will be saved for the mammoth UFC 264 show coming up. So this is a special edition. And before anyone jumps on us and goes like, well, you've had other special editions and those counted as... Guess what? Shut up. All right? We make the rules around here. We number the episodes however we want. It's a special edition. It's not part of the chronology, but we're happy to be recording another episode for you guys. Always happy to be recording episodes for you.
Yes, and if you want to attach a number to this, we're gonna pull something from the UFC's book of numbering. This is episode 49 and a half. How about that?
I love that. Yes, 49.5. Love it.
There you go. But AK, and for everyone listening right now, what we're gonna do is we're gonna give out some hardware for the half year that was thus far in 2021 in MMA, and we're gonna award our mid-year male and female fighters of the year, the fight of the year, the breakout fighter of the year, knockout of the year, submission of the year, and also we're gonna reveal our stories to watch for the remainder of 2021. So this should be a fun show, AK, right? Like, I'm excited for this.
I'm not making any guarantees that I can't legally promise, so optimistic. Yes, this will be a great show, but I don't want to be on record guaranteeing anything, Mike. You know how people are these days.
Well, I have the gusto. I'm going to say it's a fun show. So let us begin, AK, with the male fighter of the year so far. This, to me, was a pretty easy pick at this point, but I did want to get your thoughts first because something tells me we're probably on the same page here.
Are we? I don't know. I think I went with a choice that I don't know if everyone would go with because I'll give my runner-ups after, so I'll just say right away, I lean towards, for my pick, fight of the year so far, half year, I'm going Ngannou. I'm going Francis Ngannou. I was really just happy to see him finally get that heavyweight fight, live up to, almost redeem, you know, sort of what should have happened, what the UFC, I think, would have wanted to happen in the first fight. There was such a strong promotional push behind him. There was this time, too, but it was a little bit tempered, I think, just obviously based on how the first fight went. So this is at Apex, right?
Yes, it was.
This is Apex. Yeah, so that's the other thing is they couldn't really, there's not that same energy hyping up a fight when it's at Apex as opposed to being in front of a crowd. So unfortunately, that part of it was a bit muted. But for me, I was as interested in that narrative as ever of him clearly being the number two heavyweight for, you know, 2020 or ever since that first fight, just demolishing the competition, getting his opportunity. And again, not just having a spectacular finish, But you watch that fight and you saw how improved he was. I think that, you know, they may fight again someday, and I think Ngannou will be an even heavier favorite than he was in their first two meetings. And again, you watch that fight, you'll know why. It was a complete performance. He looks like a superstar heavyweight. This aftermath that we've got so far, unfortunately, not as inspiring. But we're just talking about the first half of the year, not what just happened and not what's going to happen soon. So I'm going to go with Ngannou. I'll give my runners up in a second.
All right. Okay. I'm surprised by this. I thought this was, at least in my eyes, this is a no-brainer. It's Kamaru Usman, the guy who came into 2021 in a lot of people's minds, AK, is the boring wrestler, quote-unquote, the guy that's not that exciting. And he goes out there and has two huge performances, two ultra-violent finishes, most notably knocking Jorge Masvidal unconscious at UFC 261. He battled back from some adversity in the Gilbert Burns TKO win a couple months prior with, you know, obviously a lot on his mind heading into that fight, taking on a friend and a former teammate. A lot of people don't put in perspective like what that meant for both of those guys. And right now, in my mind, and a lot of others, I'm sure, I think he's currently the best fighter on planet Earth, pound for pound. I hope they make the rematch with Colby, because those, in my opinion, are the two best welterweights in the world. So yes, thus far, in the year of our Lord 2021, Kamaru Usman is the fighter of the year. 2-0, two finishes. Sky's the limit for this man at this point.
Yeah, Mike, Usman, obviously my very, very close runner-up. He would have been my second choice. So the only, if I'm going to make a difference between the two, it's that I didn't care for the Masvidal rematch. I just didn't want to see that fight rebooked. The result was spectacular. I will be giving Usman some more flowers later, as the kids say, so a little bit of a spoiler there. But yes, we're not done talking about Usman. I just didn't care for the Masvidal fight. He is one of, obviously, the only UFC champion to get two wins in 2021, which is why I think you said he's an obvious choice. But I was a lot more invested in the Ngannou-Miocic rematch. That to me was this coronation that I needed to see. Seeing Masvidal get knocked out by Usman, I mean, that's a bonus. That was cool. But he had already beaten him. I know the first fight was forgettable, but I just didn't care that much about the rematch until it actually happened and we had that great finish. So I leaned towards Ngannou. And my other two runner-ups would be, of course, Brandon Moreno. Just such a feel-good story. And Jan Blachowicz. I think Jan Blachowicz, I know, you know, it was a good, I know it wasn't the most exciting fight, but it was a good fight. I would hope it's a fight people look back on and look at it. It was a good fight with Israel Adesanya. And look, he stopped a guy from becoming a two-division champion, another pound-for-pound guy. So, yeah, Blachowicz, as always, I'm always overlooking him. I didn't want to overlook him this time. Definitely a strong contender you could definitely make a case for him as having had the best win of these UFC champions in the first half. But yeah, I just went with a little bit, you know, the guys who finished and kind of had just slightly more spectacular performances.
Yeah, Blachowicz was actually my number two, believe it or not. Okay. Ngannou was number three, and number four is the gentleman that has already won two awards in my eyes. So I will leave that until later on. So let us head to the female fighter of the year. And I know she's only had one fight, and I know it only lasted a minute and 18 seconds, but she regained the strawweight title against Zhang Weili in emphatic fashion. You know, the build to that, everything in the corner while she's getting introduced by Bruce Buffer, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. To me, at this moment in 2021, the female fighter of the year is Rose Namajunas, AK. What say you?
I'm going to sound like a hypocrite here, because now I'm going away from sort of what was the cool narrative. I agree. The Namajunas story had a bunch of cool narrative hooks, great, amazing finish against an unbeaten champion. So, I mean, that's pretty... Zhang Weili was unbeaten, right? Or she had one loss?
She had one loss. One loss.
Right, one loss. Anyway, someone on an insane win streak. So that was all there. But I cannot go away from arguably the pound-for-pound best female fighter in the world, maybe number two at worst, Valentina Shevchenko, because... There was this whole thing about how Jessica Andrade was going to be the serious threat to her, and she just dominated her, just smoked her, and it's just such a joy watching Valentina every time. I know there's been some a couple of boring title defenses in there, not her fault. What's she supposed to do? So yeah, for me, the continued dominance of Shevchenko makes her made her my pick for the first half, but Namajunas would have been my runner up number
two. Those are 1A and 1B, I think, in everybody's minds right now.
I do feel strongly also about Liz Carmouche. I think she's off to an amazing start in Bellator, has really cemented herself as the number one contender. Some would say the number one flyweight, period. Obviously, she has to fight Juliana Velasquez now, but I know that some of us in our MMA fighting think she's kind of already the number one 125er. So we'll see. She'll get to prove it. And Carlos Barza. I thought the win over Yan Xuanan, very important. I know she was not a heavy favorite in that fight by any stretch. Some people are picking her for sure, but Yan Xuanan so crazy streak of success, and just handled by Esparza. So yeah, some good candidates.
Yep, I would agree with that. Let us head to the fight of the year thus far, AK, because now things get a little more interesting, because there are certainly a lot of different great fights to choose from. There's been some freaking barn burners across the MMA landscape over the first 6 months of action. What is your fight of the year thus far?
This fight, normally a lot of people like to see fight of the years either, go into like the last round or go the distance, but I'm going to go with Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler. I love this fight so much. It was barely over a round of action, but it was just so friggin' exciting. It was like Chandler was just, he's hurting Oliveira in the first round. He almost looked like he was going to finish him. And we just had this moment of, oh, Charles Oliveira, he gets hit. He's chinny. Here we go again. He's won all these fights just to get knocked out by a guy who's in his second UFC fight and just take all his shine. And he battled back. He proved everyone wrong. He proved that he could battle back from adversity. And amazing finish, amazing win in the second round. And for me, I just think he's the best lightweight in the world. That's certainly debatable, very, very debatable. But I thought that win and his other victories is piled up. And I'm just so big on Dobronc. So that was number one for me.
Yeah, like I said before, there have been some doozies. Runners up for me: Mike Davis versus Mason Jones, Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Miguel Baeza, Paul Daly versus Saba Hamasi, and then my number two, obviously, even with the round, in the change of Michael Chandler versus Charles Oliveira, like how, the comeback and everything, that was in the running. But to me, it's got to be one that lasted just a little bit longer than that fight. The near two rounds of a grade A, 100% guaranteed insanity of a fight between Jiří Prochazka and Dominic Reyes. I mean, that fight was so insane, so wild. The ending was one of the craziest endings I've ever seen. That whole fight was ridiculous. So to me, thus far, the fight of the year, and I think it's going to take something really special to beat it, Prochazka versus Reyes, the main event of UFC Vegas 25 in May of 2021.
With the way you were describing it, I thought you were teeing up Paul Daly, Saba Hamasi, from Bellator 257, April 16th, which was just a completely insane fight. I think a lot of people will have that as well, probably in their top three, maybe their fight of the year so far. Again, I know Bellator tends to get overlooked when we're comparing it to some UFC stuff. But if anyone has not seen the Daly Hamasi fight, at least find the highlights of it. This was just like knocked both guys scoring knockdowns, Daly scoring, getting the final blow and with an amazing knockout. And this happened almost 10 years to the day, Mike, after Nick Diaz and Paul Daly. So it was this weird symmetry as well. And that, of course, is one of the great back and forth fights of all time. But this was April 9th, 2010 or 2011. This was April 16th, 2021. So a little bit of a cool connection there. And one I didn't want people to forget was Mike Davis and Mason Jones from Fight Island 8. Because it happened in January. I have a feeling that no one's going to be talking about it at the end of the year. Just a really great high level lightweight fight. I mean, just nonstop action. That was so good. So
yeah.
So those are my runners up.
Yep, that was definitely on my runner up list as well. Let us head to the knockout of the year, my best friend. And I don't want to be the unoriginal, boring guy here, but since he was already coming up to the virtual podium to collect his award for midway through the year fight of the year, I'm just going to keep Jiří Prochazka up on the stage to collect his knockout of the year trophy as well, because that spinning back elbow finish on Dominic Reyes, I actually thought he killed him. I thought he killed the man, and that was just unbelievable. Kamaru Usman, of course, a close second for KO of the year in my mind. Jorge Masvidal, obviously Corey Sandhagen's flying knees in the running too, but right now it is Prochazka, and this was one of the easier picks for me. What do you say?
I mean, if we're being objective, the Prochazka would be up there. I think the Sandhagen would probably be number one. Unfortunately, I'm a huge Frankie Edgar stan. I don't know how many highlight reel knockouts of Frankie Edgar I can live with anymore. The Brian Ortega KO was uppercut was just traumatizing. This knee was beautiful by Corey Sandhagen, perfectly timed. Edgar is so tough. I know I said he's gotten knocked out a few times recently, but he's really tough to knock out. So for him to get just straight, I mean, that was scary. Right, same with the Prochazka thing. Like when it happened, you thought like, holy crap, this guy is like Edgar. I don't know how badly hurt he is. Right. And thank goodness, again, he's tough as nails and seems to be all right. But that my number one, actually, like I said, I didn't give Usman my fighter of the year. I actually thought Usman's KO. It's the visual helps a lot. The whatever sweat or water that had been poured all over Masvidal's head so that, you know, when he hits him, it just says water spritzing everywhere. It's such a cool visual. And again, the pre-fight hype with Masvidal saying he has no knockout power. He's a soft puncher. It just made it that much sweeter. So that would have been up there. And I want to give one shout out to Larissa Pacheco. This is probably recency bias. This just happened last week. Her knockout of Olena Kolesnik was hilarious. Straight up brawl between the two, and Pacheco just cracks her right, like the cleanest right hand you'll ever see in your life, and knocks her out. So hopefully that one doesn't get forgotten 6 months from now.
Yeah, a lot of great choices as we head to the submission of the year, Mr. A.K. Lee. There are a lot of strong candidates for this one, but there hasn't been. Normally, it's like that out of nowhere, like very rare submission that sort of gets it. But there's been sort of an eclectic collection of just really good submissions and really top spots. So after 6 full months, who in your opinion has delivered the best submission of 2021?
Oh, I'm going outside the box. I'm doing a move that our producer extraordinaire EKC Lyon would not approve of, Mike, because, you know, he's big on sort of level of competition matters, like kind of the promotion you're fighting in matters. But this submission was so bizarre. And it happened again. I don't want people to forget about it. So I just retweeted this on Thursday. So if people want to check my feed, you can find it. But if not, Mateos Santos submitted Alexander Volodin at this Open Fighting Championship 2 event. I think this is in Moscow. This is on February 20th. So you can, again, you guys can look that up. You can Google Misfits, Mateos Santos. It's in there. He's fighting off a face down armbar. But it's not close to being in, and his opponent kind of has his leg over the back of his neck, and Santos pulls down on the guy's leg, turning into a toe hold, bending the ankle and toe and leg around his own neck, and it's so tight that the guy going for the armbar taps out. It was really amazing. And I get it. It didn't happen at the UFC level. This kind of weird stuff happens in the regional and international scene all the time. But this, to me, really, really, really stood out. So I would tell people to find that. Again, you can look up Misfits Mateos Santos or Santos Volodin submission. Look it up. Again, it's in my feed. It is. It was disturbing and maybe the craziest submission I've seen this year, for sure.
Yeah, that one actually made my short list. This was probably the toughest one for me, if we're being honest. I actually had to like dig pretty deep for this one to actually get one and be like, yep, that's the one, because yours was a really good one. Yours was like a sneaky pick that I could have gone with because I didn't know if you were going to go with that. But thinking deep down, I kind of knew you were going to go with that. My
you know
heart,
me too well. Yes. This is what happens when we're best friends. I can't even surprise you anymore.
I know. My heart was with Brandon Moreno submitting Davis of Figueiredo, and what a moment that was for him to become a champion. So I really wanted to pick that one. However, I went with a different selection. I went with a submission that took place in February at UFC 258, a massive upset against a multi-time ADCC world champion. Nobody thought this could ever happen, but it did. I am going with Anthony Fluffy Hernandez, AK, the Armin guillotine against Rodolfo Vieira. Such a crazy fight. It was a breakout moment for Hernandez. And what I loved about this submission so much is that it was one of those submissions that he locked in, and his coaches, the crowd, and every single other person watching the fight was like, no, don't do it, Anthony. What are you doing? But then he got the tap and the fight was stopped and he looked like such a G in that moment. So Fluffy Hernandez gets the nod in my eyes, AK. So far, submission of the year.
I can't remember the odds for like Hernandez by submission, where it was had to be something like minus like 30,000. I'm sorry, plus 30,000. Maybe not that high. But I do remember it's just the most insane, unlikely outcome. I mean, and now if you watch the fight again, I guess people will be like, well, obviously Vieta gassed himself out. But still, early on, the fight went to the ground. So it's not like it was later in the fight that they just went to the ground. He went to the fight early. Somehow Fluffy survives and then, yes, outlasts him and gets his own submission, which I would not have predicted. If I had written that into my predictions for that card, I would have been fired. I would have been fired if I had predicted her. You would have lost your job. You would have had, the comments would have been filled with like, I'm wrong enough all the time as it is, but at least I'm like reasonably wrong. That would have just been like people rightfully calling me out for being insane. So that was, yes, that was amazing. For me, the UFC, I was thinking of Muniz, Andre Muniz and Jacare, though not quite as unbelievable these days. Muniz is an amazing grappler. And Jacare, of course, is, you know, a little bit older now, maybe has just lost a step. So that wasn't, you're right, that wasn't quite as mind blowing as Fluffy and Vieta, because, yeah, Vieta right now is a killer. But so along those same lines.
Yeah, that one. I mean, Muniz is obviously up there. Paul Craig is obviously up there. So, yeah, some really good submissions. Did you throw in your did you throw in your honorable mentions, so to speak?
That was it. That would be.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Fluffy would have been my honorable mentions.
Okay. Let's head to the always contentious breakout fighter of the year, because I was part of the panel for the year end awards in 2020 for the first time.
Oh, gosh.
And I was given the role of writing the article for the breakout fighter of the year, which went to Khamzat Chimaev over Kevin Holland, and people just erupted. They were not happy that this is the pick. Some people thought like this is my selection. I had gone with Kevin Holland, but this award is so crazy because it can be construed in so many different ways. Like, it could be an unknown who is now known. It could mean someone who is slightly known living up to their potential. It could be somebody that, you know, was known and then became a superstar. There's like a number of different ways to define breakout fighter of the year. So I wanted to, AK, give this award to Khatag Pliyev right off the bat, because he's the guy, nobody knew who this man was. He fights, loses, almost loses a finger in the process, and then he became this like iconic figure for MMA. Like, this guy lost a finger and still kept on fighting, and then it gets overturned to a no contest. So the loss isn't even on his record anymore, which is awesome. I wanted to give it to him because that is the definition of breakout fighter of the year. But I'm going with Brandon
Thanks
Moreno.
For reminding me, by the way.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Thanks for reminding me, Mike. I forgot about that horrific injury.
Yes. And then what's great about Pliyev is like he literally has surgery to get his finger like fully reattached. God. And then like as soon as he leaves the hospital, he hops in the car and does an interview with me. So
good God.
That guy is definitely on the list. He's on the list.
Yes.
But I'm going with Brandon Moreno. And this is a more selfish pick because those who know me know that I've been an individual that has seen the star potential in Brandon Moreno for years now. Long, long time. And I've said this before on other shows. He is my favorite interview in the sport right now. And it's not even close. Like, you give me Brandon Moreno, the option of Brandon Moreno against pretty much anybody to interview, and I'm picking Moreno every single time. And now everybody is starting to see what I've been seeing for so long and just how great he is, his personality. And on top of that, he's just one of the good guys in the sport and a very exciting fighter to boot. So to me, it's the flyweight champion of the world, Brandon Moreno. He is the breakout fighter of 2021 thus far, because he got a little buzz from the fight of the year with Figueiredo in December, but to see him go in there and have his moment, a lot of people counted him out in that fight. They still thought Figueiredo, even though, you know, he lost the point, they felt like Figueiredo actually won that fight, that this would be the same kind of performance and Moreno wouldn't be able to make the proper adjustments in 6 months or so. Moreno proved everybody wrong, gets the biggest win of his career, and now I think he's maybe not sitting at the big boy table yet, but he's at least waiting for a table, if you will. He's at least at the podium. He's on the wait list, so to speak. So that's my pick. What is yours?
He's not my breakup, but that has to be the feel-good story in MMA there's been a bunch of good stories. Actually, my breakout choice probably is one of them. But I do want to muse, you're right, on Moreno a little bit. As you said, anyone who's interviewed him, the guy is a ray of light. he was, I think people forget how quickly he became a fan favorite in his first run with the UFC. I remember his first few fights after, you know, he kind of flamed down the Ultimate Fighter. First, he had the unique distinction of fighting before the season was over. I don't even remember that. He was on the Ultimate Fighter, and just because of kind of like a scheduling quirk, they needed him to step in to take a fight. And his season at the Ultimate Fighter was still airing that he had already been eliminated from. So it was very strange. He fought before that final happened. So that was strange. And just his energy, his fighting style was apparent right away. I mean, people just got attached to him. He, you know, a little too much too soon. Some of the fights against was Sergio Pettis, I think, was the one that was that Mexico City.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, a more experienced guy, great fighter, a more experienced guy. No shame in losing to him. And then he was a victim of the numbers game. The UFC kind of wasn't sure what they were doing with the flyweight division. When he got cut, I remember it was really surprising, and I do remember there being some fan backlash to it. So and then a very positive reaction when he was brought back. And he said all the right things about being Brandon Moreno 2.0. We saw it. That's probably why he's not my breakout is because I guess I feel like he's broken out before. But for him to really finally reach that mountaintop was just and his emotion after, it was exactly what you would expect if a guy like him ever won a world title. And I don't know if we'll get that feeling again anytime soon, but it was wonderful. My breakout fighter, again, recency bias, I got to go with Terrence McKinney. Terrence McKinney, a guy, of course, you've interviewed on What the Heck and has shared his story with a bunch of people. There's a lot of layers to this. I mean, first, his background where he's, had dealt with, I shouldn't say dealt with substance abuse, but had used drugs in the past and had one particularly bad trip where he almost died. And he says was very lucky that he was not shot by police. It's just very scary, scary moment for him to even look back on and talk about publicly. So that alone is an incredible thing, a brave thing for him to do. 2021, I don't know if people know this. He's 4-0 right now in 2021. He has fought four times. I'm just looking at his record now. He fought in March and got a 16-second stoppage, then fought 6 weeks later, 7 weeks later, I should say, at LFA, and won in 17 seconds with a head kick. And then fought again about 6 weeks later at another LFA show, and he won by 72-second knockout, and then gets the call to turn around on 8 days to fight Matt Frivola, a very good UFC fighter, at UFC 263, and wins in 7 seconds. 7 seconds. And then blesses us all with a meme that will last forever as he tries to climb the cage, thinks twice of it, and then hurts himself coming back down. So I don't know if we've got an update on his injury. Hopefully it's nothing serious, and we do see him before the end of the year. But Terrence McKinney, even if we don't, sir, you are an inspiration. I think someone who will be a fan favorite fighter. I don't care if he becomes a world title contender or not. This is a guy who I think is just going to be very, very well liked for as long as he's with the UFC. That's my breakout boy. Good for you, Terrence. Hopefully you're okay. And man, what a UFC debut, and what a first 6 months of the year for this guy.
Yeah, that is a great pick right there. And I haven't gotten like official word on this, but Terrence posted something on social media saying like anyone keeps asking about my knee, and he was like dancing around and doing whatever the kids do, and seems to be okay. So yeah, that's a great pick. That's a really good pick right there. Let us discuss the story to watch for the rest of the year.
Oh, yes.
My best friend.
There's 6 more months. 2021 isn't over.
Yes, there are a number of them to choose from. But what do you have your futuristic eye on as we have veered into the second half of 2021?
I want to focus on something positive, I think. What I think will be sort of a story with a positive outcome, and it's a bit broad. I'm really just interested in what's going to happen with the bantamweight division, because, Mike, this is kind of our favorite division, I think, right now, going on right now. I've hyped it up a lot. There is some uncertainty, okay? We have some good matchups coming up. We should have an Aljamain Sterling Piotr Jan rematch, but that has not been announced. That has not been signed. We don't know when that's coming. TJ Dillashaw is potentially about to reinsert himself into the championship picture. A lot of people are saying, look, if he beats Corey Sandhagen, he might even jump Jan. I mean, it might be Dillashaw Sterling, which seems absurd, but that's certainly something that has to be considered. Same with Sanhagen. I would hope Sanhagen gets the same opportunity should he beat Dillashaw, but we don't know. We don't know what the matchmaker's sort of their pecking order is right now, their internal pecking order. Then you have guys like Aldo, Cruz, Edgar in the mix, not necessarily for title shots, but just like guys we'd love to see fight each other. I'd love to see any combination of those three guys fight each other. That is a dream. So hopefully one of those materializes before the end of the year. I'd love that. Cody Garbrandt, former champion. We don't know. Is he going down to 125? Is he going to stick around and take another crack at 135? It's hard to say. Will there be an interim title introduced at some point? They're the hotness for the UFC. Look, clearly, they'll drop an interim title at the drop of a hat. And after what happened with Sterling and Jan, I don't think they'd hesitate to do it at all. And then you got all these contenders: Mirab Dvalishvili, Kyler Phillips, Song Yadong, Casey Kenny, Ricky Simon, Sean O'Malley, Timur Valiev, Barcelos. This picture is so exciting. And so my storyline is, I hope we have some clarity at 135 before the end of the year, because it's not guaranteed. I hate to say it, it's not guaranteed. We could end up with Jan Sterling getting pushed to 2022. We could end up with an interim champion heading into next year. And all of those are really, I would call, suboptimal outcomes. So my thing is, keep an eye on everything that's going on in the bantamweight division. That is the story most interesting to me as we go into second half here.
Well, as of like 5 days ago, this was not going to be my answer, but it is now. It is the heavyweight championship picture in the UFC, with this interim title fight between Derek Lewis and Ciryl Gane now on the books for August 7th. I want to know what this means, AK. If this means what I hope it means, deep down in my heart, we will all breathe an emphatic sigh of relief, because this would all just be a speed bump on the road to the fight that everybody truly wants, and that's Francis Ngannou versus Jon Jones. So my initial reaction to this news, like everybody else, was, of course, what the hell is this? But you know me well enough to know I have a silver lining side, and it's a big one. It's a big part of who I am as a human being. It got the juices flowing for Ngannou Jones being booked for later on this year. Could I be setting myself up for a major letdown? Possibly. But I'm not overly emotionally invested in these storylines. It's just the bright side that I tend to look at on a very consistent basis. And I know that it's a difficult line to toe when talking about Dana White and talking about the UFC, but color me optimistic, AK. I am a believer. This is the road we're heading to. And if not, the answer remains the same. The heavyweight championship picture. Where does this lead Francis Ngannou towards? What happens with Francis's relationship with the UFC? What happens with Jon Jones? What goes in the aftermath with this interim title fight? All of it. The heavyweight division, for some reason, and I never thought I would say this, at least since the last few years of this division, the heavyweight division in the UFC is my story to watch for the rest of the year, AK. This is crazy.
I'll never tell you not to be optimistic, Mike. I tell you, on this episode, you are the prince of positivity. I will give you the crown for this episode, because I could not discuss the heavyweight title picture with any, you know, high level of optimism. I just can't do it. But I agree. Let's hope. Let's look at the other side of this. Let's hope that this means, you know, just because we got this one, that because we got this interim title fight, and those two men, you know, Gane and Lewis, are now booked, it somewhat clears the path for the mega fight that we're all really, really looking for. So, Mike, I like where you're coming from. I think I agree. I think that's the one people will be talking about the most. It's that or celebrity boxing. But guys, don't worry. You'll have plenty of that from us at MMA Fighting. We don't need to talk about that now. I'm sure many, many BTL, on to the next ones, will mention celebrity boxing and the two brothers who do not need to be named. So, yes, I think we're right. I think it's these UFC divisions need to be sorted.
I would agree. And with that, we officially put a bow on this bonus episode of On to the Next One. A little bit shorter than you're used to. But listen, we got no matchmaking questions. We got no listener suggestions. This is just us hitting record and shooting the breeze and providing you with something on this long holiday weekend, especially for everybody in the United States. So with that, the bow is put on. Join us again next week as we bring you the official 50th episode of the program, where we matchmake for the notable names coming out of UFC 264, which includes both Dustin Poirier and one Conor McGregor. So in the meantime and in between time, let us know your thoughts on our selections on the Twitter. AK is at Alexander K. Lee. I'm at Mike Heck _JR. And always remember, don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun, and we're going to have a lot of fun next week right here on the special 50th edition of On to the Next One, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.